Okay, today's daf is Kiddush and Daf Gimel. Today's shiur is sponsored for us Lezuchus for Shlema for Shraga Feivel Ben Chayabina, who's undergoing serious surgery today. We wish him Refuah Shlema. Also for Refuah Shlema for Dini Yakira Bas Ilana Yocheved, who's also undergoing surgery today. She should also have a Refuah Shlema. And it's also sponsored by the Graf family, Lezecher Nishmas, Josh Graf's mother, Shifra Breina Bras Avram Moshe's yardside is today. The zechus of our learning should be a zechus for Shlema, for all Chol Yisrael, including those two Cholim, and for an aliyah for the neshama of Shifra Bainu Bas Avram Moshe. We are holding toward the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Beis. We started to discuss why it is that the Mishnah used the term drachim as opposed to the term devarim when it describes the three ways of having kiddushin. So we're sort of veering off of the actual topic of kiddushin and just getting into the usage of certain words as opposed to others. So we're going to continue by discussing various Mishnayos that seem to use the word derech as opposed to the word davar in a number of different areas. So we're going to take a little bit of a tour through Shas. We're going to discuss a Mishnah about Zav, a Mishnah about Esrog, and what the halachos are of Maisros of an Esrog. We're going to discuss a Mishnah about a certain type of animal that we're not sure whether it's a Chaya or a Behema. We're going to discuss a Mishnah that relates to comparing Gittin to Shechrurei Avadim, all because all of these Mishnayos use the word derech as opposed to davar, until finally before the two dots on Gimel Amud Aleph, we're going to come to some sort of conclusion as to what the rhyme and reason is, why it is that Mishnayos use the word derech as opposed to davar in certain contexts. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that the Mishnah has to give a number over here. It says that Isha Niknis B'Sholosh Drachim. Why doesn't it just say Isha Niknis because of Shtarubia? And we can count that high, that's only three. We could figure out that that's three. Why does it have to identify Kesef Shtarubia as being three things? Usually it's because it's coming to tell us that you might have thought there's a fourth, and we're coming to say that it's not. That is not one of the ways of doing Kiddushin. So we're going to discuss two different possibilities of what that mysterious fourth way of Kiddushin that we would have assumed, what that fourth way of Kiddushin might be. And then the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to start going through the three ways of actually making Kiddushin. We're going to start with Kesef. We're only going to get to Kesef today. How it is that we know that a woman is Niknes Bekesef. We mentioned very briefly yesterday that comes from Kicha Mistayafron. That's in fact only the second approach that the Gemara has that we're not even going to get to in today's daf. But the first approach is going to be from an entirely different pasuk that Kesef works to create Kiddushin, and we're going to, once we quote this entirely different pasuk, we're going to see what else we can derive from this pasuk as far as the halachas of Kinyani Kesef by an Isha. So let's begin. We're down at toward the bottom of the page, at about four lines from the bottom, Vahaditnan. So we had just said that we use the term derech in our Mishnah rather than the term dvarim, because our Mishnah teaches us a certain sense of derech eretz, that it wants to show us that darko shalish lachzor alisha, that it's the derech, it's derech eretz, that a man should be going after a woman to try to marry her rather than an isha being chozer ala ish. And after all, this is the way hashavas aveda works. A man lost his rib and it became isha. That's what happened with the creation of Chava. So when a person loses his aveda, it's normal for the bal aveda to be looking for his aveda. It is not normal for the aveda to be looking for the Bal Aveda. And that's why it's the Derech Eretz that a man should look for a woman. So now the Mishnah moves on to the Gemara moves on to another Mishnah that also uses the word Derech. B'zayin Durachim Botkin Es Hazav. We had mentioned this briefly yesterday as well, that there are seven Durachim that were Bodek Hazav, that we check Hazav to see whether he saw Ziva Ba'ones, in which case he would not be Hazav, or whether he saw Ziva, I'm sorry, whether he saw Ziva for some sort of reason, if there was an explanation as to why he saw Ziva, in which case he would not be a Zav, or if there's no explanation, in which case he would have Tumas Ziva. So there is Zayin Drachim that were Bodek Zav. Instead of Drachim listening to Dvarim, why doesn't it say that there are seven Dvarim that can determine whether he has a status of a Zav or doesn't have the status of a Zav? And Sigmar HaSamach HaMashmalan, it teaches us a Derech Eretz over there as well. The Dark demichli yaseira lasuli deziva v'darke demishti yaseira lasuli deziva. It's teaching us that derech eretz, not in the sense of proper midos, in terms of the way the world works. That the way it works is that a person eats a lot extra, a person drinks extra, that is normal, that that's going to be mevili deziva, that that will lead a person to ziva. So whenever there's some sort of message of derech eretz that is meant to be derived, or that we're supposed to notice, the Mishnah will use the term derech instead of the term davar. The nuances of the lashon are very critical. V'hadetanana, we have a third Mishnah where it also uses the word derech instead of davar, where it says esrog shavali ilan begimel derachim, that there are three ways that an esrog is halachically equivalent to a tree, and instead of using the term devarim, it says derachim. So ask the Gemara, listen, devarim, why doesn't it say there are three devarim that make an esrog similar to a tree as opposed to drachim? So just what are the three ways that we say that an esrog is similar to a tree? So Rashi writes, begimel drachim orla v'revai noig bo ki ilan ulinyan shviis holchim b'perosa v'achar achanata, that the three ways that the halachos of an esrog are similar to the halachos of a tree are that a tree has dinim of orla, that any fruits that grow the first 3 years have a din of arla or asr ba'ana. Any fruits that grow in the fourth year have a din of ravai, which means it's treated like ma'aser sheni. You have to eat it only in Yerushalayim. And it has a din of a tree in that we look at the peros when it comes to Shemitah. We look at whether the fruits are considered Shemitah fruits or not. We don't look at when you picked the fruits. We look at the chanatas haperos, when it began to sprout. That's why at this point in the game, at this stage, so many months after the Shemitah year is over, people are still concerned about buying the Israeli oranges or the Israeli produce that you find sometimes in Costco or in the supermarkets, because we're concerned that the chanata, that even though there's no way the fruits that we're buying, if it's anywhere near fresh, that the fruits we're buying in the supermarket, that the lakita happened during Shemitah, but we're still concerned about Shemitah because all you need is that the chanata had to happen during Shemitah. Just the Vaj just sent out an email this week that one of the local supermarkets accidentally had Israeli tangerines or something that they were selling, so you had to go. They were taking exchanges if you wanted. It's not the end of the. I mean, it's not good, but it's not the end of the world. There are ways to handle Shemitah produce, but you just can't be ma'abid it. You have to wait till it gets ruined. But that's the idea that it's basar chanata. That's a din in a pri. A yarek is not like that. A vegetable, we wouldn't have any problems with the Israeli vegetables other than Shumas Maestro's problems. We wouldn't have any issues of Shemitah with the Israeli vegetables at this point in the year, because a yarek is entirely different. The yarek, you go basar likita, but that's a unique thing about a tree, that a tree is basar chanata. So that's how that's how Rashi explains. Rashi Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that the Mishnah over here is talking about whether you follow the Lakita or the Chanata, and when it says the Gimel Dvarim, the Arla or the Vray and Shvius are all Basar Chanata Ki'ilan, meaning that all of them are about Chanata, meaning it's not going through all of the Halachas. Rashi over here seems to indicate just the very fact that there is a Din of Arla, the very fact that there is a Din of Ravai, those are the first two Halachas that it's like a tree, and then the third Halacha is when you're determining the Shemitah year, so you look at the Chanata. Rashi Maseches Rosh Hashanah says, no. The fact that there is Din of Arla, there is Din of Ravai, that's true, but that's not what this Mishnah is teaching us. It's teaching us that you look at the Chanata to determine the year of Arla. You look at the Chanata to determine the year of Ravai, and to determine the year of Shemitah. But when it comes to Meiser, and to determining which year of Meisros it is, you look at the Lakita for Meiser. What does it mean you look at the Lakita for Meiser? Because we know that the halachos of Meisros vary based on the year. During the third and sixth year of a Shemitah cycle, the halacha is that one does not bring Meiser Sheni, instead one gives Meiser Ani. But during the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, those are Meiser Sheni years. So how do you determine whether this Esrog needs Meiser Sheni or Meiser Ani? That you would look at the Lakita, which leads to an interesting dilemma. What happens if you had a Lakita during, if you had a Chanata during Shemitah, but a Lakita in the year following Shemitah? So that's that we would say Lagabe Shvius, it has a din of Shemitah produce, but Shemitah produce normally by definition is pater from Shumas Maestros. So what would you do in terms of Shumas Maestros? That's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. The Rashba just points out that based on that Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, we can answer three questions. First of all, why doesn't the Mishnah say what the din of an esrog is when it comes to peya and shichcha? Whether that if you have a din, if it has a din of an ilan, we would say that an esrog is shavli ilan bechamisha dvarim. And if it doesn't have a din of an ilan, because it's not they say that an esrog is like a yarek b'shlosha dvarim. If it was like a yarek, we're going to say that it's like a yarek in only one way. But it never discusses peya and shichcha. So if it has a din of an ilan, so then it should add two more on the ilan side, and if it has a din of a yarek, it should add two more on the yarek side. So you understand, it's not going to mention that, because according to Rashi, we're just looking at chanat over here, we're not looking at all of the halachas. It also explains why the Mishnah doesn't say that an esrog is shavli ilan in the fact, with regard to harkava as well, that one is not allowed to be markiv a yarek, even in chutzlar, because if it has a din of a yarek, it would be mutter. I'm sorry, one is not allowed to be markiv an ilan with a yarek, even in chutz laretz. But if it had a din of a yarek, you'd be allowed to be markiv one yarek with another yarek in chutz laretz. So that's a big nafkamina, whether it has a din of an ilan or a din of a yarek, with regard to whether you're allowed to graft, whether you're allowed to be markiv. How come the Mishnah doesn't mention it? Because again, we're only talking about basar chanat in the Mishnah. That's the way Rashi will understand. It will also explain why it doesn't mention kilea kerem, that you're allowed to plant it in a kerem, like trees are allowed to be planted in a vineyard, but yarekos are not allowed to be planted in a vineyard, because again, we're not discussing that. Meaning, all of these halachas are important halachas to figure out whether an esrog is like a tree or whether an esrog is like a vegetable. But the way Rashi and Rosh Hashanah says is our sole purpose of discussion over here is to figure out whether it's pasach chanata or not. So that's why we don't bring in any of these other issues. The Tosos raises the question: why doesn't the Mishnah say that an esrog is like a yarek with regard to peya? Tosos and Dav Gimel Amarav Nibra Maskelma raises that question: why don't we say that with regard to peya, that it's pater mipeya? Because in Shabbos it says that a te'enos pater from peya, because it's not nilketas bebasachas. It's you don't pick all the fruits at one time, so an esrog should also be pater from peya, because it's also not nilkat bebasachas. So Tosos says because there are a lot of trees that are pater from peya, so you can't say that it's like a yarek l'inyan peya in that it's pater, because you do find that a lot of trees are also pater from peya. So that doesn't cut along the lines of trees versus vegetables necessarily, and therefore you wouldn't associate it with a vegetable in that way. Now from Tosos it sounds like that an esrog is actually pater from peya. Not all the Rishonim are convinced that that's true. Some of the Rishonim think that an esrog is chayiv in peya. Okay, but that's a discussion for a different time. So bottom line is, the Gemara wants to know, why does it say that an esrog is shavli ilan begimel drachim? It should have said Devarim. What's the derech eretz that we're learning over here? And it's Gemara Mishum Dubin Masni Seifa Uli Yarek Biderech Echad. Because in the Seifa, wants to contrast that an esrog is like a yarek biderech echad. So that's why it uses Gimel Durachim in the Resha. So the Gemara just points out that doesn't really answer the question. That just shifts the question. Okay, you want to keep it consistent with the Seifa. Why in the world would the Seifa use the word Derech and not Davar? Seifa Nami Nisni Davar. Let the Seifa say bidavar echad instead of biderech echad. Hasama kamashmalan tedarke de esrog ki yerek my yerek darko ligadol kalmayim ubishas likitaso isuro af esrog darko ligadol kalmayim ubishas likitaso isuro. It's teaching us that an esrog is like a vegetable in the following sense, that just like a vegetable is gadol kalmayim. Gadol kalmayim, Rashi explains, means that you need to water it. You can't just rely on rainwater. It needs to be irrigated as well. So the esrog is like that. An esrog has to be cared for, and it cannot just be, you can't just rely on the rain to care for the esrog tree. And therefore, since it's like a yarek in that way, that you need to water it yourself, it follows the yarek in the halacha of shasli kitaso isuro, that the meiser year of the esrog, as we mentioned before, is determined based on when you pick the esrog, not based on the chanatas esrog. Shmita, based on the chanatas esrog. But the meiser year is based on when you pick the esrog. That's the limud that we have from Yerek. So really, is the reason we use the term derech is because it's also teaching us a derech eretz. It's teaching us the way things work. That it's the way things work is that an esrog tree is gadol al kol mayim. Once it teaches us that it's gadol al kol mayim, so therefore follows that shas l'kitus oisuro. So this is a major machlokas in the Rishonim, as I mentioned before, that we say an esrog has a din like a tree with regard to shmita, but it has a din of a Yerek with regard to the year of maestros. So what happens with an esrog that's chanat b'shvius and is nilkat b'shvius? Let's say you have the chanata during the sixth year and the lakita during the seventh year. So it doesn't have kedusha shvius because we go basa chanata for shmita. And if the chanata happened in the sixth year, it won't have kedusha shvius. So it's going to be pata for meiser because it has a din of meiser with regard to it has a din of shmita with regard to the year of meiser, and shmita produce is all pata for meiser. But it's not shmita produce. It's just fruit that has a din of shmita produce with regards to meiser. So shita satosos mesach. Is that it's potter from Meiser. It has a din of Yarek Lemaisos. So since it's picked in the Shemitah year, it has a din of Peru Shvius and it's potter from Meiser. However, many Rishonim in Mesechus Rosh Hashanah disagree with the Shita of Tosos. The Rashba, the Ran, Tosarash, Tosrin, many Rishonim say that it's Chayiv in Meiser. That since with regard to Shemitah it has a din of an Ilan, it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius to exempt it from Meiser. So then you have the question, okay, it's chayiv and meiser, but what do you do with something that's chayiv and meiser that's not a first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth year fruit? It's a seventh year fruit. So what does that mean, it's chayiv and meiser? Do you do meiser ani, or do you do meiser sheni if it's chayiv and meiser? So how do we understand the dinim of meiser? Do we understand that every year is a meiser sheni year, and there are only two exceptions, third and sixth year are meiser ani years? Everything else, by definition, is a Meiser Sheni year. So Memela, if every year is a Meiser Sheni year, so then the seventh year fruit will also be a Meiser Sheni year. Or do we assume that no, that it's it could go either way, that Meiser Ani or Meiser Sheni, and we have to come to some sort of determination about Shemitah produce? This is actually a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah that discusses something very similar when it comes to the Meiser of Peros of Shvius in Amun Umoav, that they were Gozer Meiser in Peros of Shvius in the lands of Amun Umoav. There's a significant machlokas tanoim in Meseches. One of the Mesechtas at the end of Seder Taharos, there's a significant Machlokas Tanayim, I think maybe Mesechtas Yadayim, there's a significant Machlokas Tanayim whether fruit in the Shemitah year in Amun Moav is Chayiv in Meiser Ani or Meiser Sheni. So L'chora would connect to this as well, to Esrogim that had a Chanata during the sixth year and a Lakita during the seventh year. Okay, next Mishnah now that the Gemara is going to bring in that also uses the term derech v'haditnan. The Mishnah says koi yesh po drachim shava l'chaya. Koi is some type of animal that we're not really sure about. So it has certain ways that we treat it halachically like a chaya. Meaning a chaya requires a chaya and oaf are the only types of animals that when you shecht it needs kisoy adam, that you need to cover the blood. You shecht a sheep, it does not require kisoy adam. You shecht a cow, it does not require kisoy adam. It's about yeshecht a chaya, yeshecht a deer, it requires kisoy adam. Yeshecht an oaf, yeshecht a chicken, it requires kisoy adam. So if you shecht a koi, it's a kosher animal, it requires kisoy adam. V'yesh bo drachim shavel behema. And in certain ways, we treat it like a behema. The halacha is that the chelev of a behema is aser. The fats of a behema are aser. The chelev of a chaya is not aser. There's no din of chelev. It all has a din of shuman and a chaya. Shuman and chelev mean the same thing. It's just that shuman is permitted fat, chelev is forbidden fat. So by a chaya, there's no din of chelev. So the koi also is like a behema in that it does have a din of chelev. And v'yesh bo drachim shava l'chaya u'l'behema. In certain ways, it's like both a chaya and a behema, that it has common halachos to both a chaya and a behema, in that it requires shchita, not like a fish where you don't have to shechta, you can just kill it and eat it. You're not allowed to eat a live fish, but you can kill it and eat it. You don't need to do any special dinim of shchita, as opposed to a chaya and a behema that requires shchita. So a chaya is like a chaya and a behema in that way. V'yesh bo drachim shenu shava l'chaya v'lo l'behema. And there are drachim that that it's not like a chaya, nor like a behema, meaning that you're not allowed to mate it with either a chaya or a behema. A chaya would be allowed to be mated with a chaya, a behema with a behema. A koi is neither, cannot be mated with either a chaya or a behema. So there are drachim that it's like all four possibilities, not like that it's like a chaya, like a behema, like both, and like neither. So why do we keep on using the term drachim over there, nisni dvarim? Let it say the term dvarim, and before we answer that question, we're now going to add on another question from another Mishnah, a fifth Mishnah, which also uses the term drachim. But before we get to that fifth Mishnah, it just bears mentioning that the sugya Maseches Chulin and Daf Pei Amud Aleph is a machlokas tanoim, what the status of a koi is, whether it's a bria b'fnei atzma, that the chum just couldn't decide whether it has a din of a chay or a behema, but it's not really any other animal. It's not like an offshoot of some other min that we know of. It's just its own type, its own bria b'fnei atzma. Or maybe no, it's ba mitayash v'tzviya. It comes from a combination of two different animals, one of which is a chaya, one of which is a behema. And the whole question is whether rechoshesh lezera'av, that its mother is a tzviya, so is a chaya, but its father is a behema. So are we chosesh lezera'av? So since it comes from a tayash v'tzviya, a din of a behema l'chumra, or are we not chosesh lezera'av, and it only has a din of a tzviya, which would be a chaya? So Tosos mochiach that the mission that we're quoting over here must hold like that second shita, that it comes from a tayish or a tzviya, and we're just not sure what it is, because the Mishnah says that it has a derech, that it's einu shava lo l'chaya v'lo l'behema, and we said that that relates to harva'a, that relates to mating the animal, that you're not allowed to mate it with a chaya, nor with a behema, because we don't know whether it's a chaya or a behema. But if you hold that it's a min b'fnei atzmo, then the reason you're not allowed to be marbia with a chaya or behema has nothing to do with not knowing whether it's a chaya or behema. If you hold it's a min b'fnei atzmo, you're not allowed to mate two different types of animals with each other at all. A chaya is also b'arva, even with another type of chaya. A behema is also b'arva, even with another type of behema. So that would be usur anyway if we're a min b'fnei atzmo. The fact that we're attributing the isur of mating it with anything to the fact that we're mesupak about something tells you that the suffik must be, is it a tayish or is it a tzviya? The suffik is not, is it a min b'fnei atzmo? Because if it were a min b'fnei atzmo, of course you would not be allowed to mate it with anything else, just like you're not allowed to mate a cow with a goat. You're not allowed to mate any two different animals that are different from each other, whatever category they may fit into. So that's just the ha'ara that Tosos has. The Rashba disagrees. The Rashba thinks that this Mishnah could even fit with the possibility that it's a bria b'fnei atzmo, and he has an explanation for it. But let's see further in the Gemara. Visu haditnan, and there's another Mishnah that also uses the term derech, where lechora could have used the term davar, and that is zu achas min adrachim sheshavu gitei nashim l'shechurei avadim, that we link gitei nashim to shechurei avadim, that if someone brings a get or a shtar shechur from somewhere far away from Medina Sayam, he has to say the magic words b'fanei nachtav. We learned about a Maseches Gittin. So that's common to both Gitei Nashim and to Shechurei Avadim. When we describe that commonality, we use the term Drachim as opposed to Dvarim. So Nisni Dvarim, why doesn't it say Dvarim over there? So once we have these last two questions where we can't just explain it with a Derech Eretz, there is no Derech Eretz that's being taught to us, Ela Kalhecha Dika Plukta Tani Drachim, Vekalhecha Deleka Plukta Tani Dvarim. So it must be that whenever there is a Plukta, now, plukta normally means machlokas. Over here, it doesn't really mean machlokas. It means whenever there's any distinction to be made. Oh, an esrog is like a tree in this way, but it's like a vegetable in that way. There's a distinction. It's somewhat like this, somewhat like that. Whenever it's not absolute, that's when we use the term derech. But when there's an absolute comparison, that this is completely like the other thing, then we would use the term dvarim. Dekanami dekatani sefer, Rabbi Lazar omer, esrog shavali ilan lekal davar, shma minah. When Rabbi Lazar disagrees with the esrog being a little like a fruit, a little like a vegetable, Rabbi Lazar says, what are you talking about? An esrog is 100% like an ilan. Now notice the change in the terminology. Esrog is shavali ilan lekal davar. Davar. Once he says it's absolute, he changes from derech to davar. Because once we're dealing with absolutes, you wouldn't use the term derech anymore. That's the maskana of the Gemara. So that explains the koi, that's yeshbo drachim, that it's like a chaya, but it also has drachim, that it's like a behema, and that explains the gitei nashim shechurei avadim, that they're similar to each other specifically by b'fanei nachtam, but there are many other halachos that they're not similar to each other, so it's drawing that distinction, that's why we use the term derech. So at the end of the day, we were able to explain all five Mishnayos that use the term derech. Our Mishnah about the three drachim of Kiddushin, the Mishnah about, what else did we have? The Mishnah about the Gimel Drachim of Zion Drachim Bot Knes Hazav, the Esrog, the Gimel Drachim of the Esrog, the Koy Yeshua Drachim Shav L'Chai L'Beima, and the Shav Gitei Nashim L'Shechrei Avadim. So what it turns out is that this was a whole long discussion about Lashon Zachar, Lashon Keva, Shalosh versus Shlosha, and then the proper diktuk, when we use Derech versus Davar, that all of this diktuk apparently matters. In Shuvas Shelis Yavitz, he uses this as one of his sources in Chelek Aleph Simen Yud. It's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Pei Hei Sifkan Hei that it's Aser Bebeis HaKisei to study Diktuk, because he says Diktuk is Torah, that in order to have a Yediyah of Lashon HaKodesh, you have to look at Psukim very carefully in order to learn the Klalei HaDiktuk, and it's not that that Diktuk itself is Torah, is that if one wants to learn Diktuk, they need to use Tanakh. So it's going to be impossible to learn Diktuk without Tanakh, and therefore says it's Aser to study Diktuk in the bathroom. And there are so many sugis and shas that are based on diktuk. In the Prima Gadim has a letter that's printed in the Hakdama to the Prima Gadim where he says that he finds it troubling that we don't study Lashon HaKodesh enough, and that people don't know it's going to be Chas V'Shalom Lashon HaKodesh be Nishtakach B'Zman Hazeh. People are too busy learning Gemara Rashi Tosfos that they don't know any Lashon HaKodesh, they don't know any diktuk. There's a fascinating Tshuvas HaRamah. This is all quoted in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta over here. There's a fascinating Tshuvas HaRamah in Siman Vav where the Marshal wrote a letter to the Ramah where he says, Be'elef Mechilos Yoser Hayilamar La'ayin B'chachmas HaDiktuk. The Marshal wrote it. The Ramah had written a letter to the Marshal. The Marshal writes back, I saw your letter. Your Diktuk is horrendous. You mix up Zachar and Nekeva all over the place. Rabbim and Yachid. Your Diktuk is awful. You really need to improve. So the Ramah writes back, Masha Kasavli Adoni Shashagagti Be'ezem Milos B'Diktuk Asher Helamar Al Sefer. The fact that you say I messed up my Diktuk, you know, I have to tell you, you're right. Kvad Peo Kvad Lashon Anochi. I'm not someone who really knows Diktuk very well. He says, you know, I'm just trying to get a point across. And the Vishusa Demar Lo Yodana, I don't speak like you speak. I don't have that Koach Adibur that I'm able to speak like you, that I know the Diktuk. But he says the Shari Limar Kiyadu L'Chol Mevin Shekazay Yikra L'Chol Gadol Yisrael. He says that happens when you're a Gadol Yisrael, when you're studying Talmud all the time, that you have to you sometimes get lost in your thoughts and you're not paying careful attention to the diktuk. So you'll be mochel me my chaseros v'yaseros if I get the halacha correctly. That says the Rama and the Tshuva. So a fascinating discussion about apparently an argument about the importance of diktuk between the Marshal. Now the other reason that diktuk fell out of favor is because the maskilim took on, you know, latched onto diktuk and anything the maskilim latched onto, so the rabbinic community sort of moved away from whatever the maskilim latched on. So it's an unfortunate casualty of the maskilim and the reform movement is that people moved away from diktuk. Rav Shapiro says that because the reform latched on to diktuk and to what was it, to Eretz Yisrael. I think that was the second one. So maybe there was a third one. That's why the Jewish community, the religious community, moved away from these things, even though these are Torah and Tanakh, right? And study of Tanakh. That these are things that they're ours. We shouldn't give up on them so easily. They really belong to us. Okay. So says the Gemara further now. Minyana de resha lemutei mai, minyana de sefer lemutei mai. Our Mishnah said that an isha is nicknessed b'sholosh drachim, and she could be kones atzma b'shtei drachim. Now, both of these numbers are pretty small numbers. It could have just said Anisha's nickness kesef shtar bia, and I realize that that's three. It could have said she's kones atzma b'gen b'chali and b'misa sabal, and I'll realize that that's two. Why does it have to identify a number that it's three ways, it's two ways? It must be that it's coming to teach me something. So what is each number coming to exclude? Says more minyana deresha lemuute chupa. When it says that there are three ways to be mekadesh nisha, it's coming to teach me that chupa is not one of those ways. One might have thought that chupa is a way to be mekadesh nisha. So says Gemara, yeah, there is in fact such a shita we're going to get to soon. Ul Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, damar chupa kona mikal v'chomer, that chupa actually is a fourth method of kiddushin. Chupa is what we associate with nisuin. The way we do nisuin is by being machnis al rishusa. There are actually four different shitas in Rishonim how to accomplish nisuin. It's really remarkable. Kulei al malapligi, that in order to make a kosher Jewish marriage, you need kiddushin and you need nisuin. The very first Mishnah Maseches Kiddushin discusses how to do Kiddushin, and full sugyas and shas over dapim and dapim about each of the drachim of doing Kiddushin, about kesef, about shtar, about kiddushei bia. Never in shas, not a single place in shas, does it say how to do nisuin. It uses this mystical, this magical word chuppah, so it has something to do with chuppah. We don't know what the word chuppah means, but that's it. We have no place in shas where it actually describes how to do nisuin. So whatever chuppah is, it's what makes nisuin happen. So Rav Huna says, if it makes nisuin happen, it could complete a marriage, then for sure it could start a marriage, then for sure it can be the first step of marriage, it can make kiddushin happen, but we don't know exactly what chuppah means. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's actually machlokes on the page in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah quotes all these different deals. Is it the Badekin? The Ramah quotes is one of the deals. Is it bringing her under what we call the chuppah, under the canopy? Is it going into a yichud room? Is that chuppah? So all of these different shitos, and that's why we do all of those things, because we try to be matvid, to make sure that we get whatever chuppah is, that we're actually doing chuppah, that we make sure that there's a nisuin. But the shita of Rav Huna is that if chuppah could be kona to make nisuin, then for sure chuppah should be able to make erisin. So if you hold like Rav Huna that chuppah works to make kiddushin, then why do we mention the number three in our Mishnah? It can't be excluding chuppah, because chuppah is in. Chuppah is included. So says the Gemara, Rav Huna, damar chuppah kona mikal v'chomer, lemute mai. What does the number three come to exclude? Lemute chalipin. It comes to tell me that one cannot do kiddushin with chalipin. That chalipin is a form of symbolic kinyan. Here you pick up the handkerchief, and as you pick up the handkerchief, you are hereby symbolically being kona, something that's somewhere else, or you're empowering someone to do something. You're making the rabbi your shliach, sell your chametz, whatever it might be. Salkadait chamina hol v'gamar kicha kicha misteyafon. I might have thought that once we have kicha kicha misteyafon to teach us kinyan kesef by kiddusha kesef, so masad mikne b'chalipin af ishanami mikne b'chalipin. So I would think that if a field can be acquired with chalipin, so by definition a woman should also be able to be acquired with chalipin. Kicha kicha shouldn't just teach me kesef, it should teach me chalipin. That however you can acquire a field, you can also acquire an isha. Kamash mlan. That's why our mission has to tell me that that's not the case, that that's not so. So frankly, Gemara, wow, that sounds like a really good drasha. I mean, if kicha kicha was good enough for kesef, why isn't it the case that it should be good enough for chalipin as well? Ve'ema hachinami. Why don't we say that ain't a chinami? Chalipin should work for kiddushei isha. And says Gemara, chalipin isnu b'pachas mishav pruta. V'isha b'pachas mishav pruta lo mekani nafsha. The reason it doesn't work for kiddushin is because chalipin works with even less than a shav pruta. But a woman, there's no way you could be kona in isha for pachas mishav pruta. Lo Kanya Nafsha, Rashi writes, Tignai Hula. It's considered disrespectful to her that that's what you're going to use for Kiddushin, something that's worth less than a Shavapruta, and that's why we don't allow Chalipin, Bepachsmi Shavapruta. Tosus on the bottom of Amar Aleph has four kashas in Rashi. He says, if that's the case, what if the woman says, no, no, it's fine, I'm okay with it, I'll take it, you know, she doesn't mind the Bepachsmi Shavapruta? Or on the flip side, Tosus says, kasha number two, if you're really going to say it depends on Gnai Hula, what if she's a woman who's a high maintenance kind of woman, and she would never take a shavapruta either. She would insist on tirgavah de dinri. She would want a significant amount of money. So you're going to say that kiddushin is not going to work with a shavapruta for a woman who's a high maintenance woman. And furthermore, Tosa says that since we're assuming that you can learn kinyani isha from kinyani sada, that's the havamina that we're going to learn from stay Ephron, how come no one ever even raised the possibility that you could be konan isha with chazaka? There are three ways to be caught in the field. There's kesef, there's shtaris, chazaka, plus chalipin. But so why don't we mention chazaka? That you could be caught in isha with chazaka. Bia is not chazaka. It's an entirely different thing that's unique to ishos. How come no one ever thought of chazaka when it comes to kinyani ishos? And furthermore, the Gemara is going to ask, how do I know that you could be caught in isha with a shtar? We're going to have a whole sugya about how I know you could be caught in isha with a shtar. It's going to be in 2 days from now. What do I need a whole sugya? Kicha kicha, Mr. Erfon. You could acquire a field with a shtar. So that should have been enough. So Tos says, for all of these reasons, it seems that Rashi is incorrect, that we never had a havamina, that we're going to literally completely equate kinyane ishos with kinyane karka. That when we want to say that it should be, the question from Chalipin is that, not that whatever type of kinyan works for karka should necessarily work for an isha. No, when we raise the issue of Chalipin, we're saying that Chalipin works midin kesef. Chalipin is an offshoot of kesef. It's not its own form of kinyan. So if kinyan kesef works for an isha, then chalipin should, that was the havamina, that chalipin should work as well as a form of kesef. It's not that chalipin is its own independent kinyan. That's a major machlokas in the Rishonim. How do we understand chalipin? Is it kesef or is it its own form of kinyan? Significant nafkaminas ladina. That's a good topic for a shir at some point, but not for right now. So anyways, that's what Tosos, very important Tosos at the bottom of the page. But let's get moving over here. So on the top of Gimel and Beis, Minyana de Sefer Lemutei Chalitza. When the Sefer tells me that there are two ways that an Isha is Kona herself back, that she can regain her independence, that's coming to tell me that Chalitza is not one of those ways. Salka Deit Chamina Tesik B'Kal V'Chomer Miyavama. I might have thought that Chalitza should work on a regular married woman based on the Kal V'Chomer from Yavama. Ma Yavama She'enu Yotza B'Get. Yotza B'Chalitza. A Yavama, a get does not work to get rid of a Yavama. Yet Chalitza does work if a man dies, doesn't have any children, and he does have a brother. The brother can do chalitza, but if he were to give a get, it would be absolutely worthless. So we see that apparently chalitza is more powerful than a get. So zush, a yotza beget, a regular married woman, where even a get works, ain't a din she yotza bechalitza. I would have thought that all the more so chalitza should work. Kamashmalan. That's why it has to tell me in the Mishnah. No, there are only two ways that a regular isha can end her ishus, and that is misa sabal and get. Chalitza is not one such way. So frankly, marveim achinami. But it sounds like a good kal v'chomer. Why not say that chalitza works? Amakra sefer krisus. We're going to have this drasha again later in the Masechta. Sefer krisus. Sefer korsa vein davar acher korsa. When the Torah describes a get, it uses the term sefer krisus, and from there we learn that it's dafka a sefer that affects krisus. That if you want to end a marriage while the man is still alive, only a sefer can do that. Only a shtar can do that. Only a get can do that. Now the Gemara moves on to discuss the actual derachim of doing kiddushin. Bekesef. So one of the ways of doing kiddushin is with kesef. Minalan. How do I know that kesef works as a method of kiddushin? Where does it come from? So we already mentioned twice that there's a notion of kicha kicha mistei Ephron, but that's not going to be the first answer the Gemara gives. Visu, but before we even get to any answers, we'll ask another question. Haditnan ha'av zakei bito b'kiddushel b'kesef b'shtar b'bia, that a father retains the right to give his daughter over for kiddushin with whichever mode of kiddushin, whichever method of kiddushin the husband wants to employ, whether it be kesef, whether it be shtar, whether it be bia, the father is able to give his young daughter over for kiddushin. Minalan demikni b'kesef b'kesef davuahu. How do I know that works with kesef, and the kesef would then go to the father, even though it's the girl that's getting married? Both of these can be answered from the same pasuk. Pasuk says v'yatza chinam ein kasef, that an Amah Ivriya goes free without any money going to her master. An Amah Ivriya, as soon as she matures, as soon as she grows up, she's automatically freed. So we say ein kasef, and there's no money that changes hands. Ein kasef ladon zeh, aval yesh kasef ladon acher. In this case of a woman leaving someone's rishos, there's no money that changes hands, but there's another case where a woman leaves someone's rishos and money does change hands. Uman nihu, whose rishos would that be? Av, when she leaves the father and she for kiddushin, so then the money does change hands. But veima ledida, maybe money changes hands, but it goes to her. How do I know it goes to the father? Hachi ashta. Now you can't say that because avia mekabel kiddusha dichsav is biti nasati lishazeh viishak lekaspa. If the father is the one that has the rights to decide on the kiddushin, because it says biti nasati lishazeh, meaning I decided to give my daughter to this man, then it makes sense that he'd be the one to get the kesef kiddushin. Veima hani mili katana delasa yad the kabel kiddushin. Avol nara disla yad the kabel kiddushin. Taktishi nafsha v'tishkol kaspa. Maybe that's only when the father is the only one that could accept the kiddushin, which is a katana. But what if you have a nara where she's able to accept her own kiddushin? Maybe she should get the money. The father should not get that money when she's a nara. Amakra binura besavia. Kol shvach nuurim laavia. We learn that any benefit that comes out of her years of naras goes to her father. Her months of naras goes to her father. But wait a second, we have a separate discussion of how I know that the father gets the daughter's maisi yadayim. That we learn it out from Amma Ivriya, that just like in Amma Ivriya, the Adon gets the maisi yadayim, so too, a girl, a little girl, the father gets the maisi yadayim. Why do I need that pasuk? Why can't I learn from Benarah Besavia that anything Anara does goes to the father? So it must be that Benarah Besavia is only about Afaras Nadarim. So here also it's only about Afaras Nadarim, and therefore we cannot use this pasuk of Benarah Besavia to teach me that the father gets the Kiddushin. The Chitem and Nelef Minei, and if you want to learn from a faras nadarim, mamon me isur lo yalfinan. You can't learn mamon from isur. Hafaras nadarim is a matter of isur. V'chitei minelf miknasan. If you can say, well, why don't we learn from the fact that the father gets the knas? Mamon miknasa lo yalfinan. We can't learn a din of mamon from a din of knas. Okay, we're out of time. We're going to have to continue that conversation. How do we know that the father receives the money of the kiddushin that his na'ara daughter gets? We'll pick up with that tomorrow.